So raise your hand for that. They'll help you any way that they possibly can. Turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1 in your Bible tonight. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 in your Bible. Quickly, gentlemen, let's go. 1 Peter chapter 1. Brother Randy, if you'd look to the left in the center section, thanks. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. I'm in 2 Peter, so 1 Peter 1 would help me because I was going, man, that is not what I studied tonight. Holy cow. As obedient children, not in fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who worketh respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We're going to talk tonight about this subject. We'll get right into it. How to have a great summer. How to have a great summer. Father, bless the reading of your word. We pray that the truths tonight and the truths conveyed will be a blessing and an encouragement to us. We pray that you'd help us to walk with you in all that we say, all that we do, Lord, please. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated tonight. After 12 and a half years of pastoring, I have come to some conclusions that the summertime is often a time where Satan has an effective work in the lives of Christians, where he begins to work in their lives in a way that maybe he doesn't normally throughout the regular course of the year. And sometimes it's the fact that we get a bit off schedule. We talked about this the other night, that when we're off schedule, it's so much harder to have our private worship time or to spend time in prayer, which would be part of that worship time, or to think about the Lord, meditate on him. And sometimes we come even to church, and everybody in the room is guilty of the fact that sometimes we come to church and we think about events that are outside the church, and as soon as church is over, we got to, you know, go do this, or as soon as church is over, we got to go do that. We got to get all of these things that are done. The days are a little longer. The nights are a little warmer. Seems like a little bit more fun, and you wake up early in the morning, and you just got tons of things to do. So I would submit to you tonight that we need to intentionally determine to have a Christ-honoring summer. Intentionally determined to have a Christ-honoring summer. If you haven't figured it out, nothing really productive happens accidentally. There's nothing productive that it just kind of happens. It doesn't, at least certainly not over the long haul. I mean, you may have a productive thing happen accidentally every once in a while, but by and large, everything that happens to us happens because we intentionally determine, and my dad used to say growing up, either you make a plan or you plan to fail. And he was so cognizant of our need to make plans. Either you're going to plan to do something right, and if you fail to do that, then you're going to fail. It's what Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, no man buys a field without considering it. No man goes to battle without planning for it. Nobody builds a house without having plans. Why is that? Because there's a tremendous need to be intentional in all that we do. I want to share with you tonight just five things. It'll be simple, it'll be short, but hopefully it'll be helpful tonight about your summer and your summer experience. I want to encourage you tonight, firstly, to walk in holiness over the summer. I hope you'll take notes on this, maybe put it at the front of your Bible, review it regularly. Walk in holiness. Our text tonight says, as in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation there does not mean the way you talk. It would be included in that. But the word conversation has to do with the manner of living. So be ye holy in every way that you live. Listen, holiness is really, the whole idea of it is to be like God. It's to live a holy life, to live as Christ lived. So walk in holiness. Holiness is, as we've said a couple times recently, holiness is a forgotten doctrine in the 21st century church. I understand that in the 20th century, some of you grew up and it, you know, if your hair got, you know, an eighth of a centimeter shorter than it was supposed to be, that you were Satan's sister. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, oh, I can't believe it. She's probably not only going to hell, she has the gates of hell are in her hand, you know. I mean, she's one of those because she didn't meet this man-centered in some ways requirement. And we could laugh about that in many, many areas, and we saw that. And I think those were well-intentioned people, but maybe had in some ways negative results. But can I say, just because there was a hair length requirement on ladies, or maybe a certain type of garment you were supposed to wear or not wear, and maybe those were erroneous in their end state, can I say rather candidly, that does not remove the responsibility of personal, practical holiness from any of our lives? Just simply because you heard a pastor at youth, I was at the men's retreat I was at this week, the pastor was telling me he was a youth pastor, and I was just asking him some questions. He's only been a pastor 3 months, and so we had more of a kindred spirit on the youth pastor front than on the pastor front. And so I asked him, I said, so who are some of your favorite youth speakers? And he told me, and I said, what are some of your funniest experiences as a youth speaker? And he said, well, one time we had this evangelist come to our camp, and he started preaching, and he started preaching against Tommy Hilfiger clothes, and he just lightened Tommy Hilfiger up. He said, all the kids are laughing through the whole service because he was wearing Tommy Hilfiger clothes. And that was hilarious. Sometimes that's how it was conveyed to us. There was a sense of hypocrisy. But holiness is a required doctrine of Scripture, as is sanctification. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be separated unto Him. God wants us to walk with Him with pureness of heart and integrity. You say, what's holiness? Holiness is essentially this. Every time you see something in the Word of God where the Word of God tells you to do something, do it. Do it. Somebody should say amen right there. It's not a hard point. Every time the Scripture says do it, do it. Every time the Scripture says don't do something, stop doing it. So if God says do it, do it. If the Scripture says stop doing it, stop doing it. And if you'll do that, you'll have plenty of things to work on for the rest of your life. And it's really the mark of holy living. Holy living is living that when God convicts you, He doesn't have to convince you. Did you hear me? When God convicts you, God doesn't have to convince you. Some people God convicts and convicts and convicts and convicts and convicts, and they argue, they argue, they argue, they argue. They ask God, they throw out a fleece. They say, God, if you really want me to stop beating my children, would you please take all the baseball bats in the world away? And if God doesn't take all the baseball bats in the world away, you go, oh, God still wants me to beat my children. You say, you're being ridiculous. I am, to prove a point. That's not holy living. God wants His children to be distinct and consecrated. And we need to make careful choices regarding our socialization, who we hang out with, and our entertainment and our daily conversation. I hang out with a lot of lost people in the gym and in my neighborhood and all that. But can I be honest with you? It's a one-way relationship. I'm trying to influence them, not letting them influence me. It's a one. I don't want them to influence me. I mean, you want to teach me how to clean and jerk better? That's one thing. You want to teach me how to deadlift better? That's a one thing. But I don't want you. I don't want your morals affecting me. I don't want your thought patterns affecting me. I would never, ever ask a lost person counsel. Why? Because they're going different directions. I'd never ask a backslidden Christian counsel. It's not that I don't care what they think. It's just I don't want to know what they think. Why? Because they're living from a position of resistance, and I want to serve with people who are living from a position of submission. And we are called in this text to holy living. Be holy. Be careful who you socialize with. Be careful this summer what entertainment you have. Be careful of your daily conversation. Each decision we make needs to be made in light of God's Word and in light of God's will for our lives. Some things might be okay to do, they're just not okay for you to do. Some things might be okay to do, they're just not okay for you to do. You say, well, what do you mean? Aren't all moral laws ubiquitous? Yeah, moral laws are, but some things just aren't okay for you to do. We got guys in our church that struggle with pornography. If I struggle with pornography, I'd never watch a football game or a basketball game. I'd never go to a sporting event. Ever. There would never be a time in my life where you would catch me at a sporting event. Why? Because I don't need to see that cheerleader's booty shaking in my face. You say, well, I really like sports. I like my wife better than I like sports. I remember who I married 20-something years ago. I don't remember who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And if you do, you got problems. We need to be careful with what entertains us. Number one, walk in holiness. They're funner from there, more fun from there. But walk in holiness. Do you realize that all the commands of God are given for our benefit? Some of you don't believe that. Some of you believe the commands of God are given for your to make you have a bad day. All God wants to do is protect you. That's all God wants you to do. That's why he says two can't walk together except they be agreed. Hey, single people, that's why those of you that are single throughout the auditorium, that's why you should never even date somebody that isn't a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'll say, we need more amens than that. Our young people don't believe that yet. I would never even date a person that isn't a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. I would stop with this. Oh, she's cute. Is she saved? Yes. Is she passionately following Jesus Christ? Oh, she's passionately following Jesus Christ Friday night at the nightclub? Oh, she ain't. No, Why? This is way too valuable for that. Maybe that's a point of arrogance, but it's a point of truth. This life I have in Christ, I'm an adopted son of God. I am a son of God. I am his adopted son. He chose me because he wanted to. I don't know that it was the wisest decision, but he's perfectly holy, so he's never made a mistake. I am a child of the King. I don't have time to mess around with somebody who wants to play that game. I don't want to try to have to convince somebody for the next 45 years that Jesus is a nice guy. And I'm certainly not going to play some game where somebody says, I'll become a Baptist if you'll date me. What kind of dumb thing is that? You're not really going to be a Baptist in your home. That's like saying I'll become a Raider fan if you'll marry me. You're not really going to do that. You might cheer, but in your heart, you're not there. And there needs to be some holiness that goes on in all that we do. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 to 13. Or actually, Romans chapter 15, verse number 1. We need to not only walk in holiness, we need to walk in helpfulness. Walk in helpfulness. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Romans 15, 2 is a wonderful verse. Let's please our neighbor for his good to edification, to building him up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Can I encourage you to walk in helpfulness? Summertime's a great time to help people. Summertime's a great time to help people. Be an encouragement to people. And can I encourage you to help Christian people, help members of the church, no doubt about that. But just help people. Find opportunities to be a blessing to people everywhere you go. If I just believe this, that if you're looking for opportunities to be a blessing, you won't have to look very far. You won't have to look very far. Whether it's carrying the card in, if you're just aware of your surroundings, whether it's just carrying the card in from somebody at the grocery store, whether it's helping an older lady at the store get a heavy bag in her car, whatever it is, just find opportunities to help people. My wife was at Costco the other day, and she was buying a shelf rack for our garage, and it's about 100 pounds, 120 pounds. She's 150 pounds. She's amazing. And she was pressing it overhead. It's 150 pounds, and she was struggling to get it on the cart, and then she paid for it, and she was out of the car, and she was struggling to get it in the car, and two or three guys walked past her just watching her struggle to get it in the car. Can I say, if you're that kind of guy, that's kind of loserish. That's just being self-centered. Oh, well, I got to get in there and get a hot dog before they run out. It's Costco. They ain't ever ran out of a hot dog in eternity. When God created the world, on the eighth day, he created the Costco hot dog. They've been around forever. They'll have plenty. Well, I'm focused. I got to get my stuff done. It's self-focused. Look for opportunities to help folks. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. Maybe this summer you can take your kids and visit a senior saint or do a chore or some good deed for a neighbor or just encourage somebody by having them over, somebody that is one of those, we looked this morning, one of the least of these. Maybe you could just be helpful that way. The greatest memories I have are memories of serving Christ together with others. And my best days are always days when I get to help people, encourage people, be a blessing to people. Can I tell you, moms, don't sit inside your house and worry only about your family. Teach your kids, train your kids to focus on other people. There was a day, now it's not around anymore, but there was a day that if somebody was broke down on the side of the road, we never passed them. And some of you older folks will remember it. Somebody was broke down on the side of the road. You pulled up behind them. You asked them what the problem was. They said, we got this issue, we got that issue. Hey, hop in the car. We'll take you over here. Now you kind of pull up behind somebody. You ask them do they carry handguns? And you're kind of, there's a sense sometimes of a little bit of fear. But can I say that though we might not be able to pull up behind people and help them in a car situation, we may be able to. If it's a couple of guys, we may be able to do that. But if we're not able to do that, that spirit should not be lost. A spirit of helping others should not be lost. Do you think Jesus would drive past somebody? Do you think Jesus would see his neighbor in need struggling to do something and not offer to help? Let this summer be a walk in helpfulness. Thirdly, walk in honor and integrity. Walk in honor and integrity. I'm referring to accountability and dependability on this point. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life." Paul's life was an open book. His life was an open book, as ours should be. If you got some walls and some vulnerability and you're different here than you are when you're all alone, can I tell you that's a problem? I tell you that's a problem. You need to be the same person everywhere you go. You need to be identical everywhere you go. I want to be the same person in the pulpit that I am at home, though, we don't really wrestle in the pulpit that often, but I've been trying to teach my kids for years how to use a towel to snap one another, and they do really good on the receiving end. They're not as good on the giving end yet. They're learning, and so we do some things like that, and if Brother Bernie's going too fast in the song service next week, you might hear a dish towel pop right there or something, but removing some of those obviously inappropriate things, i.e., just normal humanity side, we really, our character, our nature, our morals, our thinking, everything needs to be the same consistently. Consistently. Paul's testimony was an open book. Now, many of you are going to take vacations this summer. That's great. We want you to do that. But be dependable on your vacation. Let the guy in charge of your ministry or me or Brother Bernie know that you're going to be gone. Don't just not show up. That makes a difference. What if I just didn't show up? Everybody shows up on Sunday morning. We have 250 people here. And Bernie's going, "Well, I don't know where Pastor is. Leo, can you preach?" And say, "Well, it'd be shorter." "Well, I know. Maybe. You've never heard Leo talk. It could go long. But be dependable. Show some integrity in your own private worship time. Show personal integrity to yourself. Every day, spend time with the Lord in private worship. Every day, you and Jesus, time in worship. Every day. You say, "Well, that means some stuff won't get done." That'll be okay. That'll be more than okay if some stuff in your life doesn't get done. If private worship happens, the most important thing happened. Make sure that you're sharing your faith this summer. When you're helping those people around you, help with a purpose. I have no qualms about helping people and then inviting them to Canyon Ridge. I want them to know the reason I'm helping them is because I love Jesus. You see, is that manipulative? I don't think so. In fact, I could prove that it's not. I love you enough to help you, and the reason I love you is because God loved me, and I want you to understand who it is that loves me, and that's God. Tithe. And keep your grace-giving commitments this summer. So be dependable and show integrity there. Don't say, "Well, we were going to go on vacation and we were going to go to El Centro, but now we're going to go to Yuma, and so we're not going to tithe." Don't go to Yuma. Just stay home. It's way better. But whatever it is, don't take your tithes and offerings and keep them for yourself. Show integrity. That's the Lord's. Don't steal from Him this summer. Make sure that you're giving to Him. Make sure that you're giving to Him. Somebody said this, said it this way, elevate dependability and eliminate doubt. Those things should never even be a question. Never be a question. I was thankful that Jason and Chesley took a motorcycle trip up to in the San Francisco Bay Area. They're hardcore. They rode in an air-conditioned truck through Central California. And then they rode around the Bay Area looking for a motorcycle gang. No, I'm kidding. Those of you that are quite like, really? They were? Yes. No, it's called the Baptist. But they went on a trip. Beautiful up there. I was so thankful. But I was more thankful that they went to church when they were up there. I was thankful for that. That spoke to me as your pastor. I know Chesley slept at the service, the pastor told me, but Jason, I was glad you paid attention the whole time. I was thankful for that. That encouraged me. Not only did it encourage me, it encouraged the pastor of the church. It encouraged their entire church family because I spoke at a men's retreat of the church they went to. They're like, hey, some guys from your church came. And man, that was really cool that they came. And that was really awesome. And you got to know some of the guys they talk in those 60s California terms. Those guys are gnarly, man. They're riding their bikes all around NorCal. That's great. Yeah, and it really is. Show some integrity and dependability. Fourthly, I'm watching the clock. Walk in humility. Walk in humility. The Bible teaches us to humble ourselves and to give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. During the summer, you're going to be filled with self-thoughts over and over again. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Yeah, when you're talking about food or something, that's not a bad thing. But it can cross over into self-worship. Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Walk in humility. Surrender to the Lord. Holiness always leads to humility. As a matter of fact, holiness always leads to integrity and honor and helpfulness. That's what holiness does. But you know something else holiness does? It's our fifth point. Walk in humor. God is not a bummer God. Some Christians are the most boring people I've ever met. Now, some of you are just boring. I get it. There's no hope for it. It's not because you're a Christian that you're boring. You just came out boring. And doctor slapped you, and he's like, why'd you do that? There was no emotion. I mean, next to stoic, they got your picture in the dictionary. I get that. That's okay. And well, I guess so. It's not me, obviously. But I will tell you this, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Dennis Prager, who's a Jewish radio commentator, philosopher, sociologist, he wrote a book entitled Happiness is a Serious Problem. I'm tempted to sell it in our church bookstore. Some of you need to read the book that you need to be happy. It's great to be happy. Well, there's a lot of bad things in my life. Yeah, you're the first one. The reason there's so much bad is because that's all you see. You can find bad or you can find good. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes this is a test. It's so funny. Sometimes you'll have a meal and everything about the meal will be great except for one little thing. And what do we fixate on the whole time? That one little thing. Just that one little thing. Like I forgot to put the meat on the grill and so now we're eating raw meat. I'm kidding about that. But listen, walk in humor. Have fun. Well, I'm a deeper person. No, you're a downer person. Because downer and deeper are two separate things. And deep people are happy people. They really are. Deep people aren't sad, like, oh, woe is me. But listen, a Christian who, as somebody said, a chicken little Christian who always sees the sky falling is a person that doesn't understand the majesty, wonder, and sovereignty of God. Have fun in life. Enjoy it. Well, there's just not a lot to laugh at. Wait a minute. There's so much to be merry about, if you will. There's so much to be happy about. There's a lot of stuff to be sad about. So then it just determines what are you going to look at? What are you going to focus on? I mean, really, what are you going to focus on? we have choices. See, here's the reality, so you hadn't figured it out. You choose your response to everything that happens to you. You choose your response to everything that happens to you. No one forces your response. No one. I walked into men's prayer this morning. I said, would you guys pray for me? I'm having a bad day. I was angry. Didn't I say that? I said that. The guys that are at men's prayer. I didn't have any other prayer request. I'm just having a bad day. I don't want to walk in front of you having a bad day. You know, I found that a lot of times in life when you're having a bad day, if you just choose to have a good day, you end up having a good day. And people say, well, you don't struggle with stuff like I do. Yeah, I do. I struggle with depression. Sure do. But I've learned this about depression. If you tell depression that you're going to get the victory by the grace of God, then depression doesn't have the hold on you. And the reason that depression has a hold on you is because you've surrendered to depression. That's why. So walk in humor, have fun, laugh, play games, throw water on each other during the dish cleanup time. If you have a baby, you know, give him two cakes and see what happens. Do whatever, but have fun. Enjoy the blessings of God. I love my wife about this. My wife, she'll find a humor in the most amazing things. I've got two dogs. One is old, almost 15 years old. Bailey, would you guys pray for him? Man, he needs to die. That was funny, by the way. You should have laughed. He's old. He just kind of walks around, and he's half dazed. He looks like he's on LSD half the time. He just walk around. He'll walk through his food bowl, walk through his water bowl, walk into walls. The other day, no lie, the other day, he was standing at the wall. There was nobody around. He's standing at the wall. It wasn't a mirror or anything. He's just, we're like, Bailey, come here. He's like, would you touch him? Tried to bite me. I'm glad he doesn't have any teeth. He licked my finger, gummed my finger for a few minutes. Let him go. He went right back to the wall. Like, what are you tripping? You remind me of my brother. Holy cow, stop it. And that dog, so because it was winter, we didn't have him cut. And he's too old. I didn't give him a bath. I thought he would die. Why waste my time? Well, he didn't die, so now it's summertime, so I had to get him a haircut, and I took him, and I got him a haircut, and Debbie didn't take him. They said, do you want to give him the puppy look with that little Yorkie happy bear look face? I said, no, cut it all off. They said, why? And I said, he's old. Can't you see? He'll get stuff, like, in his beard. I don't want that. He's, like, chews on the side of his mouth, and it's just, he's old. So I got him cut, and now he's beautiful, 9-pound dog. Then we got Baxter, another dog, 5 pounds. Baxter's 5.2 pounds. He is a beast of a dog. He is gigantic. Just ask him. And we got him cut. We got him shaved all the way down, too. And the other day, yesterday, Baxter knows I'm the alpha male in the family. I keep telling him, and when he doesn't remind him, I make sure that projectiles come flying his way. They don't ever hit him on the first bounce. And Baxter had his paws down and his head was kind of tucked down on his head. And Debbie just is looking at him and just laughing. And Judith and I and Natalie look at her like, what are you laughing at? She goes, oh, isn't that so cute? And she just laughed for like 5 minutes. And then we started laughing at her, not with her. And she's like, you guys are mean. Well, we weren't trying to be mean. I mean, that an adult woman would find that much pleasure in a 5-pound dog with its head tucked this way. I mean, he's twice of a rat. He's like a big-time wrestling rat. That's all that he is. And he's just there, and she's laughing, rolling off the couch, and we're laughing at her. You know what? It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh at yourself. I got to tell you this other one, and I'll be done. The clock is fast. Growing up, if you were sick in my house, my mom had just a couple of things that you need to do. You always need to take a nap. If you didn't, like, if you're sick, you have 119 fever. My mom would be like, you don't feel so good. Maybe you need to go take a nap. Yeah, I think I need to take a nap at the hospital. Mom, we haven't come to that yet. Not even close. Your temperature can get to 365 before water starts boiling. Son, Mom, I don't think that's true. Just shut up and go take a nap. All right, so you'd go take a nap. My mom's other big solution was to go use the restroom. No matter what, you got to go use the restroom. Well, Mom, I sprained my ankle. I don't know what the connection is. They're just, shut up, son. She had a very graphic German way of talking about that. Just go take care of business. Mom, that's I got a sprained ankle. I need some ice. That's what I need. Oh, you big sissy. Go. Can I tell you about Mike? Okay, Mom, I'm going. I'm out of here. I'm done. Well, my wife's solution for everything is Mucinex. Mucinex cures everything. So the other night, Natalie and I, Judith was asleep, and so Mucinex kind of, I'm not sure, I think it's a sugar pill, to be honest with you, because that stuff, because everybody in my family takes it, nobody's ever healed. Nobody. You get on Mama's Mucinex program, and all you are is sick for the rest of your adult life if you take that. And so Natalie's like, Mom, I don't feel so good. I got a headache, and my lower back hurts. I probably strained something working out. No lie, Danny goes, well, did you take any Mucinex? Natalie is a lot like her dad. When he gets like this, does not realize that other people have feelings. So Natalie and I, for the next 10 minutes, began to joke about Mucinex. It was this. We were rolling, literally, on the tile floor. Our sides were hurting. We were losing weight. We're both crying. And this was the funniest thing ever. It's the third time in my marriage I've ever seen Debbie mad. And so she goes, fine. And she threw whatever she was working down. You guys want to stay sick? Stay sick. I'm going to bed. To me and Natalie, we tried not to laugh, but we couldn't help continuing. It was hilarious. So the next morning, Debbie wakes up, Natalie wakes up and everything. Hey, Natalie, you need some Mucinex? It starts all over again. Now, listen, that might not be the tenor of your family, and that's probably a good thing for you. But it is ours, and we laugh at ourselves all the time and certainly would never take ourselves too seriously because there is love there and there's no fear that there's not love there. So I hope you'll grow to that point. But in saying all of that, make sure that you laugh. Laugh. That's why I want you to laugh in church. Laughter is an emotion given by God. It's a God-given emotion. It can go too far. It can. I haven't realized that yet, but it can. I'm just assuming theoretically. It can. No, it can. There's no doubt about that. It could go too far. But everything can go too far. And simply because something could go too far doesn't mean we don't enjoy it. Exercising can go too far. Eating can go too far. Vacations can go too far. Working can go too far. Everything can take you out of balance. But when kept in their proper perspective, they bring tremendous balance and joy to your life. Let the summertime be a time of fun. You're going to be up later. Your nights are longer. Light is longer. Have fun. Enjoy one another. Walk in holiness. Walk in helpfulness. Walk in honor and integrity. Walk in humility. And have fun. Walk in humor. Let's have a wonderful summer in Christ. He wants, do you realize God wants you to have a great summer? He wants you to worship Him and have a wonderful summer this year. Let's do that this evening. Father, thank you.